Please join me in prayer. Lord, indeed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, Habakkuk. There are a number of you in Sunday school this morning, but I don't think we practice saying this word, and for the benefit of everybody else too, let's practice it. Say it with me. Habakkuk. It sounds a little like you're choking while challenging someone to a duel. Habakkuk. It's a name. It's a name of the guy who wrote this book, the prophet Habakkuk, who wrote the book of Habakkuk. Haley and I have this mentor back in Florida whose name is Frank, not Habakkuk. And Frank has been in ministry, still is. He's been in it for over 58 years. He's exactly 50 years older than Haley. And one day last spring, we did the math and calculated that over the course of his lifetime, Frank had delivered approximately 2,600 sermons. Hey, I know. We also said, man, Frank, you're old. And over the course of that lifetime, over those 2,600 sermons, he admitted that not one of them was on the book of Habakkuk. And I have only heard it preached one other time in church, and that was Haley. So I figured that there might be a good chance that there are a number of you who are also unfamiliar with this book. And not just the name, but to many of us in here, the content of this book may also be hard to connect with, especially in chapter 1 where we're going to focus. O Lord, how long shall I cry? I have said things like this before, but usually it is because I'm having trouble connecting to Wi-Fi, or it's the season finale of Game of Thrones. Like, how long, Lord? I beseech you. Habakkuk's cry is about something else, with a little bit more gravity to it. The man is begging God for justice. He is looking toward the heavens, imploring the Creator, yearning for an end to wrongdoing and strife. And he has his reasons. Habakkuk lived amidst great trouble. He seems to have been prophesying in the kingdom of Judah, where the city of Jerusalem was located, at the turn into the 6th century BCE, a time when the memory of one brutal foreign invasion is still fresh on his people's minds, and another, even worse foreign conquest seems absolutely inevitable. And as it turns out, within just a few years of taking place, and it will nearly dismantle Jewish culture entirely. So historically, destruction is on either side. But what's more, though, is that the kingdom of Judah, the land of his people, is saturated with violence and corruption from within. Everywhere he looks, Habakkuk sees danger and injustice, and so he cries out to God, how long is this going to go on? And in fact, he calls God to an accounting. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help? And you won't listen. How many times must we point out to you all of these evil things that are occurring right under your nose? All of the trouble, how the wicked have taken over. When are you going to do something about this? These words, they come from a deep pain within his soul. They're born out of enduring the ravages of war, civil chaos, and persecution. And I cannot say that I know that feeling well. If I'm being honest, maybe not at all. I mean, I have observed plenty of injustices in this world. There is a banquet of them to choose from. Yet I am hard-pressed to think of a time when I have personally been affected by much wrongdoing at all. Certainly nothing systemic like what Habakkuk has been through. I have seen bloodshed, but it is usually on a flat screen. I have heard of atrocities, but out of the speakers of my sedan. And I have felt some pangs of pain in my life, but because of stuff like deaths in the family, which are miserable, but parts of life in every life, not what I would call cases of injustice. Now, other kids did used to make fun of me for my red hair. Sixth grade was particularly tough. But I've never been oppressed. As a large, white, straight, cisgender American male who has almost always been in a cushy middle to upper middle class economic situation, pretty much my whole life, I've been in environments that are conducive to my safety, comfort, and material prosperity. The deck has pretty much always been in my favor. I'm the last person able to say that I have experienced any real form of persecution. I've never had legitimate cause to fear for my life because of someone else. I have had a gun pointed at me one time, but that was my brother-in-law's bachelor party, and we all deserved it. I wanted to tell you more, but Haley says that's for another day. Habakkuk and his people were victims of things far too great not to invoke the name of God, not to plea for help, too great not to hope upon hope for mercy, for a miracle, for justice, for something else, something better. And I, on the other hand, I have never really felt the yearning for a different life. I have never been a victim. So not only is Habakkuk kind of a hard word for me to say, but it's a hard book for people like me to relate to. And while I know there are a number of reasons why Habakkuk might be ignored in contexts like my own, I imagine the fact that it doesn't hit a personal chord and doesn't seem especially relevant to folks like me is a big part of why people like me don't know it. No matter the reason, though, I believe those of us who aren't familiar with this part of the Bible have every reason to change that fact. But two reasons rise to the surface. One, because it's in there. It's in the Bible. Amen. But more importantly, we need to know that there are people, that there are other children of God whose experience has been this, whose lives have been polluted by evil deeds beyond their control. And if Habakkuk's cry sounds alien to some of us, we need to know that this is the native tongue of others. In fact, his exact words have been quoted throughout the past couple millennia by entire cultures and ethnic groups as they too have bore the burdens of injustice. Take just this past century. During World War II, Habakkuk's questions became the questions of the Jews enduring the Holocaust. It was quoted as both a lament and as a shout of defiance, of solidarity. And Habakkuk was referenced so frequently during that time and provided such a powerful, compelling voice that the Nazis eventually banned the book. They outlawed it throughout the Reich's territory. Habakkuk's questions were used by oppressed South Africans during apartheid, coupled with music and chanted in protest as they fought for equality in their own native land. And it is Habakkuk that Martin Luther King Jr. quotes in one of his most famous speeches, the sermon he gave at the conclusion of the Selma March, saying this, "But I know you are asking today, how long will it take? It will not be long, because truth pressed to earth will rise again. How long? Not long. Because no lie can live forever. How long? Not long. Because you still reap what you sow. How long? Not long. Because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Oh my gosh. He said it much better than I did. But it remains true. And it remains relevant. The same question echoing again and again and again, and that's just this past century. How long, O Lord? That's just a select number of groups of Christians and Jews in the 1900s who knew this particular quote. How many more, though, who didn't know lines from Habakkuk could still relate to it all too well? How many more throughout human history have cried out in different words for the same thing? And how many people today are still crying out, "Dear God, when will this stop?" We may not talk about it much, but there are still so many congregations where this is mantra. In a moment, we will celebrate communion. And so much of what we celebrate in communion is that our lives are bound together. And not just the people of Fair Oaks within our little corner of the world, but we are bound to the rest of God's children too. The others from every time and every place whom God loved and loves desperately now, so much as to give us Jesus. So while some of us, and maybe this is not hit home with you, this is just a confession from me. So while some of us may have trouble connecting from our personal experience to the words of this prophet, we are about to proclaim through Holy Sacrament that we are inextricably connected to those who have, who still can. They are a part of us. So while it doesn't matter so much whether or not you can say the word Habakkuk, we must hear his words and learn them. For they are not just from some small, obscure, sometimes neglected part of the Bible. They are our sisters' and brothers' words too. These words are a part of our sisters and brothers. And our sisters and brothers are a part of us. Amen.